Would you pray with me? Oh God, we give thanks to you for this first Sunday of Advent, thanking you for this time to stay woke, to continue to watch, wait, and prepare. Now, Lord, I pray that you will speak to us today, each of us, where we are, and allow us to be changed into anew. This is our prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes, you heard that word, that phrase, stay woke. I know you just chuckle, like, that's grammatically incorrect. But some of you know that phrase and the roots of it, right? Some of you do. Well, for me, stay woke was important when I heard Erykah Badu's. Y'all know about Erykah Badu in here? Badu, get it. You know, in 2008, she had Master Teacher out, and it was all about telling us how to stay woke. So I heard it back then, but today you hear it in different settings, and it is a phrase that is used to encourage all of us to be aware of issues and concerns, to stay woke, to keep our consciousness of issues, and to have a voice to speak out. Stay woke. Well, today, City Well, my sermon is entitled Stay Woke. It's for us. I want to begin with the words of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King from 1967, when he stood before laity and also clergy at Riverside Church in New York City. These were the words of our beloved. We are now faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now. It is an unfolding mystery of life and history. There is no such a thing as being too late. Those are the words of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, and I believe that he was so concerned about the injustices and the lack of showing what love really is among the people, that he encouraged them to stay woke. How many of you here today at City Well are staying woke? Nobody's raising a hand. They're still trying to figure out that word. Okay. We're going to keep it coming. We got to stay woke, y'all. How many of you are awake? Is that better? How many of you are awake? Okay. They're going to get it eventually. Many of you are awake. You're conscious. You know what's happening. Well, I believe that the preaching of the gospel is truly the woke movement. I believe it's a woke movement for us. Because you see, if you don't know about Jesus Christ, you're not living. You're sleeping. You might even be dead. So for me to stand before you today and say, we have to be a woke people, I'm saying openly and bold that we've got to really walk with Jesus Christ today. And in alignment with this gospel that you just heard, the last verse, verse 44, said, be ready, be alert, be woke people of God, because you do not know when the hour will come. No one knows. I believe that as we look at this gospel lesson and we look at where we are as a church family, we are to look at what it really means. No matter how you frame this, it all comes back to being focused on love. You see, I'm grateful that this is all about love of God, love of neighbor, love of self. And I believe that as you look at a movement, whether it is a movement to look at an issue or a challenge, you must base it all on what you love, who you love. And first and foremost, it must be love of God. Because if you love God, then you're going to look around and see and be committed to bring the changes through the love, through the lens of God. So today, I want to make a point about this wokeness. I believe, yes, we need to be conscious of the social issues around us, but more than that, we need to have a spiritual shepherding of eternal matters. And that means, where are we after we leave here? What will be of importance to us? And I believe that if you are not living out the power of Jesus Christ in your life, then your eyes are closed. You're not a woke people. I don't care how conscious you are about everything from the east to the west. Where is the Lord in your life? Are you woke? Are you woke to Jesus? Stay woke, City Well. Stay woke. Some of you might think you're woke because you can quote every book by this author and that author. You think you're woke because you're conscious of every injustice in this city. But how are you loving your brother and sister? How are you treating your brother and sister? Well, that wokeness is about awareness. Awareness. And as we look at Advent, it is all about being human. We are waiting, waiting, waiting. How many of you waited for Friday to go shopping? Let me see the hands, because I know I didn't. I didn't. I was out there on Thursday night shopping. I didn't wait. I wasn't alone, though. I'm sure many of you were out too, right? Waiting. It's hard to wait. Woo! It's hard to wait for Friday and all the sales will be gone. No, I was out there after I ate the last meal, and I just got my little extra stuff with me. But in this gospel lesson, I believe that Matthew is speaking to the early Christians in a way, because they were tired of waiting. And this lesson was written at least 50 years, even after the event. They were tired of waiting for Jesus' return. They just had given up the delay. And believe it. So I believe Matthew was writing this to encourage the people to stay alert, stay awake. Like many of us, when we have a situation in our life and it's not going as scheduled or as planned, we want to give up. Oh, no one's like that in here. Nobody. Okay. Well, I believe that just as Matthew was speaking to his congregation, this message may be for you to stay awake, to keep prepared, and to wait with anticipation of Jesus' return. And as you're waiting, you're looking, you're watching, you're checking yourself out. Look all around you. How many of us really struggle with waiting for Jesus to do what the Word of God said would happen? Some of us are still waiting on that healing. Some of us are waiting on that deliverance. Some of us are still looking at a passage and trying to line it up with our life, and it's not fitting. Well, I want to encourage you to continue to wait, stay awoke. Stay awoke. Did I say awoke or awake? Which one did I say, y'all? They're waiting. They're really confused today. I think it's all about awake. Okay. Stay woke, people. That means look all around you, look within, and look ahead. I think it's important for us to do that as we look at what God's word tells us. Unexpected things happen, tragedy and blessings all the time. Many of you know, and you've heard the news of our chancellor at North Carolina Central University, the passing of Dr. Deborah Saunders White on yesterday. Our chancellor passed, and a lot of our students are grieving. Our staff and faculty are struggling now. But also an unexpected tragedy occurred where, in the midst of receiving that news, I also attended a double funeral yesterday of a brother and a sister. And as I was traveling back from Raleigh from that funeral, it really hit me that you have no idea what tomorrow holds. This message, this passage is really about us. And as we look at who is in our circle and who is not in our circle, we must stretch. We must remember that tomorrow is today, as the Reverend Dr. King has said. But we must also look at, are we loving? And are we living with that love, the love of Christ? I'm reminded that life is parallel to the seasons of life. When we look at being born, we just mentioned Abby, and we've got several children that are being born here. It's like the springtime. Look at Theo over there, beautiful Theo. Springtime over there. Look at him. Papa is holding him. And then you look at your youth and young adults, and that's like the summertime. Come on, you where are young people at? We have a lot of young people. I'm young. Young people. Yeah, our young people. Yeah, back there. I know. We've got all the young people right back there. Yeah, the young people. Look at Keith raising his hand. He's in the young people crowd. That's like summertime up there. Oh, yeah. And then you move on to retirement. It's like the fall comes. Come on now. Come on. It's like the fall. That's not funny. What's so funny about that? Okay, thank you. Autumn. Okay. Autumn. But then what happens when that senior time comes and you're ready to wait and wait? It's like sometimes when you get to that stage where you lived a certain life, you have joy to look at the birth of grandchildren. Ain't that right, y'all? The birth, that's right. I knew you were going to say something, Sandy. The birth of your grandchildren, but also the birth of dreams that you could not accomplish because of children. You know? So you dream, new dreams. You born, you create, you get what I'm saying. How many of the older people in here know about dreaming those dreams that now that your nest is empty, you can do it? Thank you. Thank you. I knew there were people in here that agreed. But that is really important because you have been waiting and waiting and waiting, raising your children, raising other children that didn't belong to you, but you just adopted them to your family. Well, as we look at that, that is really important for us to kind of align that with Advent, because we are waiting and the changes of the season occur and other things happen, unexpected things. We as people of God must hold on to our faith. And in the midst of all of those changes, we have to make a choice. We are all at places in our life where we have a choice. We can either look at the hand that we've been dealt, the life that we have, and be happy, or look at it in a different way and suffer. But I want to bring two scripture references to you today that I hope can encourage you as you look at this season of waiting during Advent, and understanding that no matter where you are today, no matter what you've experienced, no matter what season of life you're in, you have a choice to move forward. And the first scripture, many of you know it, is Philippians 4 verse 11. And I think of this when I go back to our first phrase, which is stay woke. And it says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. Many of us are rushing through this season that we're in, not even thinking of the lessons and the joys. We're rushing because we want to be into that next season. But I believe that when we look at this, Paul can encourage us to remember to be content and stay woke and look all around you. There's something there for you to learn, to glean. The second scripture many of you use often, and it's Jeremiah 29:11. And that's important because many times we go by what everyone else's thoughts are about us. We take in everything that someone else is telling us of what we are not and who we are not. But this reference is about staying woke. And it's, for I know the plans I have for you. And if you take that in and you know God's plans for you, don't worry about what other people's thoughts are and how they may have a plan to sabotage or to set things up the opposite. Hold on to Jeremiah 11 and remove everyone else's stuff out of you. Press forward. Look at the promises that God has made for you today. And those promises are in scripture. God has promised us to always be present at our most greatest need. How many of you can account to that today? How many of you can really stand in testimony that through all that you've been through, when you thought God was not there and you were waiting, when it was at the bottom, God was really there at your greatest need? And I'm glad, because when I think of that, it doesn't matter how many jobs you've gained or lost, how many deaths in your family you've encountered, or how many issues you've had on your job, God has always been there. This season of Advent is for us all to stay woke, to be hopeful, to prepare. But what does it mean to stay woke also? It means to examine yourself. See, sometimes we're looking all around and can tell everything that someone else is not doing. But the reality is, staying woke is about looking within, examining the areas that you need to improve. So when you walk this walk, you can say, I've looked within. I'm making this adjustment. I'm making this change. It's also about the love of the God that you say you serve, and to live that out. And as you go along the way and you learn these lessons, remember those lessons. Some of us struggle with staying woke because we don't want the help from others. How many of you admit that we all need help at one time or another? We are truly a people that need each other. And I believe this staying woke season is about all of us to look at what it means to welcome each other in community. So the people of Citywell are a people that not only looks to God, but we look at our community and our family to walk this out. As I prepare to close, I'm grateful because I stand on not only God's word, but lessons in my own journey of failure and success, openness, transparency, and love. That brings me to my final point of unstoppable love. This season of Advent, many of us are rushing it through. We're asleep waiting for Christmas. But I want you to pause and think of the areas in your own life that you know you need to adjust, change, put a little spotlight on. I want you to do that as you focus on the main love. And that main love is the love of God. Wherever you are today, God loves you with an unstoppable love. And whatever you've put aside to search for, please know that the best thing you can do is to surrender everything to our Lord. Would you please pray with me? Almighty God, we admit that we cannot go forward without you. Today, as we let go of those things in our life that we have been holding on to, we pray for your power, your presence, to speak to us. Help us to let things go, that we can receive you today. We can receive you and your people and all the love that goes with that. Help us, Lord, to walk in this fresh newness as we go beyond this place, to be bold people that stay woke. This is our prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As our praise team comes to sing this song, Unstoppable Love, I am reminding you today of what Matthew said to the early church about being alert, being ready, being watchful. This season, it is for all of us. Would you please receive unstoppable love?